I was wondering, it's November the 1st, isn't it? The suspense was killing me, Dusty. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 this morning, which is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I've entitled this message this morning, Storm Hacks, and I'll get to that here in just a little bit. But, you know, we're all living in 2020. If you're here today, you're living in 2020. There's been a lot of storms this year. And Jada was asking me the other day, we were talking this week, and she was saying, honey, what has the Lord been speaking to you through all this? And I said, well, you know, basically, you know, the message I've been bringing about storms and how how to get through a storm, all the things. And here's another message on storm hacks. And then also about strife and division, because, you know, a lot of people, even Christians, I had noticed it myself that we listen to the media and all we hear is about division and how that trickles down into our mindsets. It can trickle down into your marriage, into your family, into your church. And so I knew that the Lord was saying you need to guard against strife and division, and then also about having the right mindset. You know, as a Christian, you need to have, when you're going through something, you need to have the right mindset. Jesus said, in this world, John 16:33, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have storms, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we've got to know that down deep in our knowers. And so this week I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and we were just talking back and forth what the Lord was speaking to him and everything, and he shared something with me that I thought was really good. He said, well, Mark, he goes, I see that the Lord is just taking us all, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a disciple of Christ, when we all started out, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we started out as a servant, all right? We got saved, we wanted to serve God because we fell in love with the Lord, servants. Then we start learning how to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, and some of us are still learning that. When you know, when you finally get the revelation that you're in the family, and nobody's going to kick you out, right, that you don't have to get saved every Sunday. And then he said, but now what's going on, and I had to agree with him, he said, what I feel like is going on in the realm of God and for God's people is that he's taking us into a place of learning how to be citizens of heaven. And so when you're a citizen of heaven, that's when you start realizing that you're an ambassador of Christ in the earth, on the earth, and that you need to let your light shine. No matter how dark it gets out there in the world, you need to let your light shine. And so as I was praying the other day, because, you know, I listen to a lot of different ministers and preachers that I know that teach the Word of God, you know, prophets, apostles, all the fivefold ministry and everything. And everybody that I've listened to, nobody knew that this was coming, COVID, right, the storm. And so one day I was out, you know, saying, well, God, why didn't you tell me, you know, that this was coming? And this is what I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And it was like a strong, commanding word, and says, Mark, you were built for storms. He said, and you need to start teaching that to people. We were built for storms. Look at somebody and say, you've been stamped, stormed, approved. All right. In the beginning of this, when this first started, as y'all know, I'm a real estate agent too, a realtor, and I had a lady that I have her house listed, and she's a believer as well. She knows I'm a pastor. And as soon as this released, she texted me and she said, what chapter of Revelation do I need to be reading? And I immediately said, you need to go back to Matthew chapter 6 and read about do not worry. Go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Do not worry. Now, I'm going to say something this morning, and I know there's a lot of you in here that probably know the Word of God better than I do. All right? I'm still learning. I'm just going to confess I'm still learning and growing. But I don't know where we're at on the timetable. All I know is this, is that I'm not going to put up a big timetable up here and say we're here, all right? Because here's the deal. As your pastor, I'm just going to confess something today. I've heard people teach on pre-trib, and I'm like, that's it. We're going to get out of here. I've heard people teach on mid-trib. Oh, we're going to have to go through some of this stuff. And then I've heard some people teach on post-trib, and I'm like, that sounds right too. All three. How many of you are with me? How many? Okay, yeah, I've heard it all. And finally, one day I saw in the Word, what Jesus said was, occupy till I come, and he that endures till the end shall be saved. So I just said, you know what, God, I'm going to occupy till I come, till you come, And then I am going to endure until this is all over, no matter what it is. But here's what he was telling me, Mark, you're built for a storm. Even if the storm, the tribulation and all that, we know that's the storm of all storms. It's sent by God, all right? It's in the Word of God. But here's the deal. If we are here as believers, none of it's going to touch us. And that's what's going to drive people into the kingdom of God. It's just like the children of Egypt, when the plagues came, none of it ever touched them. None of it. When the darkness came, the Bible says that they lived in the light in the land of Goshen. Am I teaching you the word this morning? All right, so what it was saying, we're storm approved. Even if the storm comes, even if we're still here, we're going to be salt and light in the earth. And we're storm approved. Look at somebody say, you're storm approved. I'm just telling you, I don't know. I don't have a timetable. I don't. All I know is I'm listening to him, and he knows the time, and I'm listening for the trumpet, I promise. But I don't have my bag packed and ready to go. I'm going to occupy till he comes. I'm going to be salt and light in the earth. And I want to show people how to weather a storm. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, storms are a part of life. Unfortunately, none of us are exempt from weathering those storms. The thing about storms is that you're either in one, you're coming out of one, or you're about to enter one. And 2020 has been full of unpredictable storms. And I just want to ask all of us this morning, including myself, how are you doing through it all? How are you doing? How's your faith doing? And one of the most, as a real estate agent and in the housing, one of the most important parts of any home is its foundation. And I read this story, and it really spoke to me, and so I'm going to read it to you today. How many of you do masonry around here? I see Tim in here this morning, carpentry guy. How many of you ever done masonry? I've never done this, but some of you may know this term, but I never knew this term. This story says, when we lived in Kentucky, we lived in a very old house. The house was built in 1900. The house had a brick foundation, and when you went into the basement, you could see the brick foundation. One day when we were down there with someone who knew something of old homes, we noticed that the mortar between a lot of the bricks had turned into powder. You could simply touch it, and the mortar would fall to the ground. So my handy wife, and this is the word, T-U-C-K, pointed those brick foundations. Anybody ever heard that word? I'd never heard that. Yeah, some of you that's in masonry know that word. Tuck pointing is when you replace the mortar on a brick structure, and she did a great job. It's basically like decorating a cake, and by doing that, she saved us a lot of money, and she may have very well saved the future of that home. You see, the foundation is very important. And when I read that story, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, Mark, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life right now. Hello. There's a lot of tuck pointing that the Holy Spirit is doing in all of us. Because if you're a believer, your foundation is Jesus. He is the rock. We know that. But some of us have, you may not know this, but some of us, and I had to learn this about myself, some of us have put our trust in the almighty dollar. Some of us have put our trust in the government and all these different things, and our trust needs to be in God Almighty. And even though I'm a believer and I'm founded on the foundation of Jesus, I had to realize that some of my mortar was crumbling, and the Holy Spirit was coming in there and showing me those places that needed correction, and he was tuck-pointing in those areas. How many of you are being tuck-pointed? Okay, I am too. And it's good. It's a good thing. Everybody's foundation is being shaken right now, and it's a good thing. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is verses 24 through 29. This is Jesus talking, and this is when he talks about the wise and foolish builders, and this is what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine... Here's the next one. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Both houses went through the same kind of a storm, except one was built on the rock, one was built on sand. One was built on a solid foundation, one was built on sand. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority. Everybody say authority. and not as their teachers of the law. And so in this story, and most of you in here, if you've been around church any length of time, you know this story in Matthew chapter 7. There's three foundations. There's the wise man's foundation, which is found in verses 24 through 25. And the wise man, we can imply out of that story that he built his foundation on the rock. The foolish man's foundation was built upon the sand. And then the third one, and a lot of us miss this one, is what Jesus was getting at was and when he was teaching the crowds, the foundation of Jesus' teaching, what he just taught them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he's saying, if you hear these words of mine and do them, and so it's obedience. Look at somebody and say, you need to obey. It's not just hearing the word, it's also doing it. And so that's the foundation of Jesus' teaching. The bottom line is this, build your foundation on Jesus and his teaching. He is the foundation, and he will not crumble. The word says that the only thing that's going to survive all of this is the word of God. It's going to last forever. It's going to be standing at the very end. And so I want to give you this morning, if you're taking notes, they're on the back of your bulletin. I want to give you four truths that I came across about storm hacks that I want you to apply to your life. And I'm going to help us, I hope, along the way here to help us apply this in some areas that are going on right now. And this can be what we're sensing as a nation with the political unrest, the division that's happening and everything, the COVID, the pandemic, all the way down to personally what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life and your foundation. I don't know about you, but I'm going to confess right now that through all of this, through 2020, the Lord has been showing me areas in my life that needs tuck pointing. Needs it. I didn't realize, Mark, you're putting way too much trust in the almighty dollar. Yeah, we all need it. We got to pay bills and all that. But who is our source? Our source is God. Mark, you've put too much trust in your political party. Hello. All right. So he'd been teaching me, you're a citizen of heaven first. Yeah, you live in the United States of America, and I thank God for it, and I'm a patriot through and through, all right? But I am a citizen of heaven first. And so that's that little area of tuck pointing. And then, you know, you get on social media, or you listen to media, or watch it on TV, and you're like, nobody thinks like me. Right? You know, you start listening to all this stuff, and you're like, nobody thinks like I think. Well, I started getting the Elijah syndrome, right? The Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one left, God. God said, no, here's the whole church full of them this morning right here, you know. God's got plenty of us out there in the world. And so don't get over in that area. So that was another area the Holy Spirit was like, tuck point. Oh, my gosh, you think you're Elijah? Tuck point, right? All right, here we go. So here's four truths that I want to give you this morning on storm hacks, all right? And these are four truths that you can apply to your life that will serve you in every area of your life, family, business, etc. And here's number one, never underestimate the power of a storm. Yes, you're a citizen of heaven. Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you're going to go through storms, but never underestimate the power of a storm and how it can affect you, even as a believer. Now, I'm going to give you an example out of my own life. When this first all came out, I got hooked up in the media thinking this is a political hoax, this whole pandemic thing, all right, and how they're using it on both, you know. And I just thought this is nuts, and it's a hoax and blah, blah, blah. And I was getting on my soapbox. And then till something happened very close to me, my granddad passed away from COVID. Then that really hit home. So no more making fun of people wearing masks for me and all that kind of stuff, all right? So in what it taught me, and the Holy Spirit was tuck pointing, Mark, never underestimate the power of a storm. Never underestimate it. The temptation when preparing for or in the midst of a storm is to treat it like nothing is happening. It was like it was almost like in my world when this first came out, was I was sticking my head in the sand. It's like, there's no storm. You know, this is gonna come near my dwelling. Psalms 91, right? And then it happened to my granddad. Then it really hit home. And the Holy Spirit was tuck pointing and saying, Mark, you know, listen, this is real. Yeah, there's people using it for their different gains and everything like this, but this is a real thing. It's what the Bible calls is a pestilence. And Jesus said, we're going to have pestilences. We're going to have, there may be another one coming. I don't know, guys. And he said, you're going to have earthquakes. You're going to have all kinds of things going on in these last days. But endure till the end and weather the storm. Whether preparing to face a storm or finding yourself in the midst of one, it's always smart to check your foundation. And that's where you ask yourself, how am I doing? And I want to ask you, all of us, this morning, who is the community of people around me? You need a church family, amen? You need believers around you. You need that community around you. Should I seek professional help? Do you need counseling? Do you need to go outside? All of these are great questions to ask yourself when the Holy Spirit is doing that tuck pointing stuff on your foundation. And here's the storm hack, all right, guys? The storm hack is this. I don't know what storm's going on in your life right now. I know that we're all experiencing what's going on. You know, we got a big election coming up this week. Here's what I want to tell you as a pastor. Go vote. Go vote. That's your voice. Go vote. Storm hack is take the storm seriously, but remember to build your life on Jesus and surround yourself with faith-filled and gracious people to hunker down with. I want you to know, guys, I'm glad I'm hunkered down with y'all. Amen. I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I live in Western Oklahoma. And I'm glad I got some believers around me to hunker down with, which is you guys. All right, so that's the storm hack for number one. Never underestimate the power of a storm. All right, number two is never make a huge decision in the middle of a storm. And when this first happened, we had all kinds of things planned for 2020. We really did. I had things in my mind planned for 2020 because it's our 20th anniversary as a church and all this. And just what I felt the Holy Spirit say to us was clear the church calendar and just teach the word. And I like doing series, you know that. I like getting in, you know, teach a book of the Bible, teach scripture by scripture, all those kind of things. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me for this year, you know, I'd like to plan in advance. Amen. God works with plans too. But he said, this year I just want you to take it Sunday by Sunday. And sometimes it feels like Sunday, Monday, Sunday. Right? You know. And he said, but I'll give you what you need every Sunday to bring to you people, to God's people. And so that's the way I've been approaching this whole year, and he hasn't said anything different yet. And next week I feel like he's already preparing me to teach a word on strife, about how division has come in and how we need to respond as believers when strife does come. And it's the story of Abraham and Lot when their herdsmen got into a tiff over, you know, and the strife was happening, and Abraham said, Lot, you choose what land you want to go to. And so that'll be next Sunday. We're going to talk about strife and division and the choices that we need to make as believers during those times, because it's flowing down, guys. I don't know if you've felt it, but it's flowing down. It's everywhere. There's so, you can just almost feel strife everywhere you go. And I'm just trying to, it's not going to come between Jade and I and our marriage and our family. That's what you got to do, is protect your own home. Amen. And we're protecting our church family as well. But number two, never make it. Can you tell it's been 3 weeks since I've been in the pulpit? Yeah, I feel like a water hose this morning. All right, number two, never make a huge decision in the middle of a storm. This is where I said we cleared the calendar and teaching the word. And so under this, it's important to stay grounded in the middle of a storm. And here's the reason why. Emotions are a roller coaster in a storm, and we don't want to make life-altering decisions when our emotions are running high. Okay? Don't want to do that. You know, I can tell you a story as being a realtor. I had people calling me, and they was like, lower the price on our house. We got to sell it because we need the money, right? And it was all because of the pandemic, right? It was causing them not to think right and make irrational decisions. And so you've got to be important. When you're going through a storm, that's when emotions start running high, and that's not a good time to be making life-altering decisions. As Christians, we are building our lives on the rock, and that's not Dwayne Johnson, that's Jesus. Amen? That's who we're building our lives on. So we build a strong foundation on Jesus so that we can weather any storm, and you and I can only be as firm as our foundation. Got to have a strong foundation. So here's the storm hack underneath this one. If you're considering a huge decision in the middle of a storm, take a moment to consider, because I understand there's sometimes in the middle of a storm and you know, it can be in your business, whatever is going on, you may have to make some decisions, but make sure your emotions, give it time, you know, use grandpa and grandma's wisdom, sleep on it for a day, give it time for the emotions to die down so you can make a good, solid decision. But if you're considering a huge decision in the middle of a storm, take a moment to consider this. Number one, how much this will cost me after the storm? And number two, what will be left after the storm? There's a great story of this when Jesus was talking about the cost of being a disciple. And I didn't put it up here this morning, but it's in Luke chapter 14, and I want to read this to you. And it's chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus saying this. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. And I want to tell you something. That scripture haunted me back when we were building this church out here. Because some of you have been here for all 20 years, but there was nothing but a foundation out here for quite a while. And because we were believing God for the finances and everything to get done, and the enemy was actually, you know how the enemy takes scripture and beats you up with it? He was using that scripture. They're all going to laugh at you, Mark, your whole hometown. You're just not, all that's going to be out there is a concrete pad, you know. And then things started happening. Thank God. And I was like, no, you know, God called us back home to plant this church. I know that he did. And this is his church, and he's got to bring the finances and everything. And it came. Here's how the finances came, $5 at a time. I was believing, God, give me $1 million to complete this project. No, it didn't come like that. It was like $5 at a time. One of the great, and I've told this story many years. She's grown, married, has her own children now. It was Chelsea Dykes. I can't even think of her married name now. But she was a little bitty girl. We was up in the church on Main Street, and we were every Sunday casting the vision for our new church that we were going to have out here to reach Western Oklahoma. And I'll never forget this gift as long as I live, and even in heaven. And that little Chelsea came up to me after church, and I think she was maybe 7 or 8, 8 or 9, somewhere in there. And she came up to me after church. We were standing outside. We was greeting people as they was leaving. And she came up to me. She said, Pastor Mark, I want to give to building our new church. And I said, that's awesome, Chelsea. Thank you. And she said, I get an allowance every week from my mom and dad for doing chores around the house. And my allowance is $5. And I want to give my $5 to the church. I will never forget that as long as I live. But that's how it came, $5 at a time. So while you're in a storm, that's the storm act. If you're considering a huge decision in the middle of a storm, take a moment to consider how much this will cost me after the storm and what will be left after the storm. And that's Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. Okay, here's number three. Number three, make preparations for recovery and cleanup. All right? And this is where, and I'm talking about the big C, the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the nation, throughout the world. This is where the church needs to get really good at this. And instead of relying on the government. So we always say, oh, the government will take care of it. The government will take care of it. I'm just going to give you an example. We've witnessed this with states that have experienced physical storms, Louisiana, Florida, Texas, to name a few. After the storm had passed, the cities that had been damaged began to put together plans of how to recover and clean up the destruction. And while you're in a storm, one of the smartest, most wisest things that you can do is to prepare for the recovery and the cleanup of post-storm. Guys, I believe that there's more storms coming, and the church needs to rise up and be the church. Amen? And take care of people. And God is going to show us how to do that as it comes. But we're going to be getting involved with that. And part of that is even this, you know, Samaritan's purse that we're doing, you know, is getting involved with that. All right, here's the storm hack. Begin evaluating how has this affected me, my family, my business, my finances, my relationships, my emotions, my mentality, and so on. Let's always be as ready as we can be to lead each area of our life through a storm and also out of the storm. The church needs to get really good at this. This is our storm hacks. Okay, is everybody ready for number four? Number four, hunker down with the right people. All right? Hunker down with the right people. May not be Cousin Eddie. Hunker down with the right people. The Bible puts it this way. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That's Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. And I want to say for all those that are married in here this morning, who that person is your spouse. You need to be open and transparent with your spouse. Everybody said amen. That's who I'm hunkered down with is Jada. All right, hunker down with the right people. But there may be storms going on in your life. Here's what I have to realize. Jada is not my Jesus. Amen. She's not even my Holy Spirit. Now, she may be Holy Spirit Junior, and because the Lord does speak to her through her a lot of times to me, and vice versa, our spouses do that. But I have to, and what I'm getting to and where I'm going with this, is sometimes you may have to go to a counselor, a Christian counselor, or a true friend, okay? And a true friend is somebody that's not going to talk about it to somebody else, right? As a pastor in here, there's a lot of things that I hold in confidence because, I'm your pastor, and there's some of you in here that have opened up your lives to me, and God told me early on when I became a pastor, he said, Mark, when people call you pastor, that's an honor. And when they open up their lives to you, that's an honor. And be confidential about that, and that's a very holy moment when somebody opens up their life to you and share their soul with you. And so you need to find people like that to do that with because you need to talk. Amen? We need to talk, especially when you're going through things, when you're going through a storm, you need to be able to talk to somebody. Somebody else may have a different perspective of your storm. It's always good. There's been storms that we've been in together, and then Jada will tell me something. I was like, man, I've never seen it like that. And it was a whole new perspective. In other words, don't go through a storm by yourself. Don't let the enemy isolate you from other people. When you're going through a storm, that's when you come to church. That's not when you stay home. Amen? And then, here's the deal. Once the storm has passed, keep coming to church. Yeah, and there's going to be things. I understand there's things that, life happens. You got work, different things. Some of you had to work on Sunday. I understand that. But keep coming. Don't just come to church when storms are coming on. As a pastor, I've seen over 20 years of ministry, been pastoring here, is, there's a storm going on there at church. And then when the storm's over, they're gone. Well, we need to stay in church. That's what builds you up, builds your faith up so you can weather, because there's another storm going to come. Oh, there they are again. There's another storm, I'm pointing over here. It's not always over here. Sometimes over here too. Sometimes right here. It's everywhere around the church. We're all like that. It's human nature, But stay hooked up. Look at somebody say, stay hooked up. That's why you've got to hunker down with the right people. And I'm going to say this today, and this is a strong statement, and it's so true. And I heard a pastor say this one time, and it really stuck with me. And when he was talking about this, he was talking about talking to someone. But it has to be a trusted someone. You just can't go bare your soul to everybody. Hope you understand that, all right? You've got to find those right people in your life that you can do that with. And this is what he said. This pastor said this. He said, you're only as sick as your secrets. And I was like, wow, that's deep, and that's so true. And so you need to, that's why God said you're not supposed to hold that inside of you. You need to talk with somebody. You're only as sick as your secrets. All right, here's the storm hack. Live life with those you're building with, and they want to be there to support, help, pray, and solve with you. Hunker down with the right people and weather it together. And everybody said amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to, I feel like I know everybody in here this morning as I've looked over everybody, but I want to make sure, and also those that are watching online this morning, this will also be on the radio next Sunday, but I just want to make sure that everybody in here has their life on the solid foundation, on the rock of Jesus. And how you do that is by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's very easy. The Apostle Paul told us in the book of Romans that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, okay? And with them, say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, or maybe it's the one that you said this is the time, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. So just get with me, and we can do that next Sunday. Jada, will you come up here? And if everybody would stand up in here, I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning as we dismiss. Did everybody learn something today? Got a storm hack? Okay. Go and vote Tuesday, all right? That's our voice. Okay, I'm going to speak this blessing over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And tell somebody, I am weathering the storm. I was sure by